Matthew chapter 2 verses 1 to 18. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. "A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more." In the first 12 verses of Matthew chapter 2, we see the King of the Jews, the King of Kings, being worshipped. He is worshipped by wise men from the east. Verses 1 to 12, Matthew chapter 2. Now we must confess that we know very little about these wise men. The word translated wise men comes from the word magi or magos. And if you look at the Strong's Concordance, it tells us that the word magos means an oriental scientist. By implication, a magician, sorcerer, wise man. Here it refers to a group of scholars who studied the stars. And their title connects them with magic. But these magos were probably a more honorable class of astrologers. Now, just because these people are mentioned in the biblical record, it does not mean that God endorses astrology. God does not. In verse 2 in Matthew chapter 2, it says, "For we saw his star when it rose." So God gave them a special sign, a miraculous star that announced the birth of the king. Now this star may have been supernaturally introduced into the heavens and would have been discernible to these magi. The fact that it was called his star, that indicates that the wise men identified the star with the birth of the king of the Jews. And the star led them to Jerusalem, where they heard the prophetic word from the priests and scribes who were summoned by Herod that the king would be born in Bethlehem. So they went to Bethlehem and there they worshipped the Christ child. In Matthew chapter 2 verse 11 we read, then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now we do not know how many magi there were. From the three gifts listed in Matthew chapter 2 verse 11, some people have assumed that there were three kings from the Orient. But this is not certain. But we know that when their caravan arrived in Jerusalem, there were enough of them to trouble the whole city. Matthew chapter 2 verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Now we must keep in mind that these men were Gentiles. From the very beginning, Jesus came to be the Savior of the world. In the Gospel of John, we read that the people who came to see Jesus personally from the Samaritan village told the Samaritan woman, John chapter 4 verse 42, they said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. These wise men were also wealthy and they were scholars, scientists in their own right. No scholarly person who is true to the light that God gives him can miss worshipping at the feet of Jesus. Because in Jesus Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians chapter 2 verse 3. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Jesus Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians chapter 2 verse 9. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Now the Magi were seeking the king, but Herod was afraid of the king and wanted to destroy him. Now this Herod here was Herod the Great, and he was called king by the Roman Senate because of the influence of Marcus Antonius, who is commonly known in English as Mark Antony. Mark Antony was a Roman politician and general, and Mark Antony played a critical role in the transformation of the Roman Constitutional Republic into the autocratic Roman Empire. So Herod was called king, and soon as he heard that another king was born, he wanted to kill him. Now Herod was a very cruel and crafty man. He permitted no one, not even his own family, to interfere with his rule. He would not permit anyone to prevent the satisfying of his evil desires. He was a ruthless murderer. He had his own wife and her two brothers slain because he suspected them of treason. He was married at least 9 times in order to fulfill his lusts and strengthen his political ties. It is no surprise that Herod tried to kill Jesus, because Herod alone wanted to bear the title King of the Jews. But there was another reason. Herod was not a full-blooded Jew. He was actually an Edomian, meaning he was a descendant of Esau. This is a picture of the old struggle between Esau and Jacob that began even before the boys were born. It's described in Genesis chapter 25. This is the picture of the spiritual versus the carnal, the godly versus the worldly. Genesis chapter 25 verses 21 to 23. And Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah his wife conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, if it is thus, why is this happening to me? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, the older shall serve the younger. The Magi were looking for the king of the Jews, but Herod wanted to kill the king. And what about the Jewish priests? The Jewish priests were ignoring, they were ignoring the king. These Jewish priests knew the scriptures, and they even pointed Herod, they actually pointed Herod to the Savior. But they would not go to worship the Savior themselves. They quoted Micah chapter 5 verse 2, but they did not obey it. Matthew chapter 2 verses 4 to 6, And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So they pointed Herod to the Christ. They were quoting Micah chapter 5 verse 2. Micah 5 verse 2. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. You see, it's pointless in knowing the scripture without obedience. And this is one of the biggest problems that many people have. They know the scriptures in their heads, but they will not obey the scripture from their hearts. Now these priests, these Jewish priests, were less than 10 kilometers from the very Son of God. Yet they did not go to see him. The Gentiles sought and they found him, but the Jews did not. Now in Matthew chapter 2 verse 9, Matthew 2 verse 9 indicates that the miraculous star was not always visible to the Magi. Matthew 2 verse 9, after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. As they started toward Bethlehem, they saw the star again, and it led them to the house where Jesus was. By now, Joseph had moved Mary and the baby from the temporary dwelling where the Lord Jesus had been born. Remember, he was born in the manger, Luke chapter 2 verse 7. In fact, it is actually that word manger, translated as manger, means feeding trough. That's where the cattle were fed. Luke chapter 2 verse 7. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. But by now, Joseph had moved them into a house. The traditional manger scenes of the first advent of Christ, which is commonly seen during Christmas time, those scenes that assemble together the shepherds, they assemble together the shepherds and the wise men, they are not true to scripture, because the Magi arrived much later. The events mentioned in chapter 2 probably took place some months after Jesus was born. Number one, Joseph and Mary were living in a house when the Magi came. They were not in the manger, Matthew chapter 2 verse 11. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Number two, Jesus is referred to as the child and not as an infant. Number three, and this is very important, it would have been strange for Joseph and Mary to offer the sacrifice of the poor. They offered a pair of turtle doves or pigeons. That's what it says in Luke chapter 2 verses 22 to 24. Because in Leviticus chapter 12 verse 8, that is the offering of the poor. Leviticus chapter 12 verse 8. And if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take two turtle doves or two pigeons. One for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean. Now we see what they offered in Luke chapter 2 verse 22 to 24. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Since the wise men had given them gold, frankincense and myrrh, then surely they could afford the lamb for sacrifice. The fact that they offered the offering of the poor proves that the wise men arrived after the ritual sacrifice described in Luke chapter 2. In Matthew chapter 2 verse 5, Matthew cites a second fulfilled prophecy to prove that Jesus Christ is the king. Matthew chapter 2 verses 4 to 5. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, For so it is written by the prophet. So it is written by the prophet. How he was born was a fulfillment of prophecy. He was born of a virgin. We saw that last time. And where he was born was also a fulfillment of prophecy. In Bethlehem of Judea. Bethlehem means house of bread. House of bread. And this was where the bread of life came to earth. Jesus said in John chapter 6 verse 48, I am the bread of life. Bethlehem in the Old Testament was associated with David, who was a type of Jesus Christ in his suffering and in glory. Then Matthew records the hatred to the king of the Jews. Matthew chapter 2 verses 13 to 18. Matthew chapter 2 verses 13 to 18. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. A person is identified not only by his friends, but also by his enemies. Herod pretended that he wanted to worship the newborn king. Matthew chapter 2 verse 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem saying, Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. But in reality, Herod wanted to kill Jesus. God warned Joseph to take the child and Mary and flee to Egypt. Egypt was close. There were many Jews there. And the treasures that they received from the Magi would pay the expenses for traveling and also living there. But there was also another prophecy to fulfill. The prophecy is from Hosea chapter 11 verse 1. Hosea chapter 11 verse 1. I call my son out of Egypt. The full verse goes this way. Hosea chapter 11 verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. Matthew 2, 14 and 15. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Out of Egypt, I called my son. The first prophecy in Matthew chapter 2 verse 6 is a direct prophecy about the birthplace of Jesus. The second prophecy in Matthew chapter 2, which is from Hosea chapter 11 verse 1, which we just read, it is a typological fulfillment. This prophecy refers to the nation of Israel as God's son, and it refers to them coming out of Egypt in the Exodus. Jesus is the genuine son of God. And as Israel's Messiah, he represents Israel. Israel is depicted as a wine. Many times in the scripture, you will find Israel depicted as a wine. Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 21. Yet I planted you a choice wine, holy of pure seed. How then have you turned degenerate and become a wild wine? Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 9. Speaking about Israel, the wine. Jeremiah 6 verse 9. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they shall glean thoroughly as a wine, the remnant of Israel, like a grape gatherer pass your hand again over its branches. Ezekiel chapter 17 verse 6. Again speaking about Israel, the wine. Ezekiel 17 verse 6. And it sprouted and became a low spreading vine, and its branches turned toward him, and its roots remained where it stood. So it became a vine and produced branches and put out boughs. Now other passages in the Old Testament describing Israel as a vine, you'll find in Isaiah chapter 1 verses 1 to 5. Ezekiel chapter 15 verses 1 to 2, Hosea chapter 10 verse 1, and Hosea chapter 14 verse 7. I repeat, Isaiah chapter 1 verses 1 to 5, Ezekiel chapter 15 verses 1 to 2, Hosea chapter 10 verse 1, and Hosea chapter 14 verse 7. Then you find Jesus saying in John chapter 15 verses 1 to 2, I am the true vine, and my Father is the wine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So out of Egypt, I call my son, and that is the Lord Jesus himself, the representative, the Messiah of Israel. Now, Herod's anger was a sign of his pride. He was a megalomaniac. He could not permit anyone to get the best of him, particularly some Gentile scholars. And this led him to kill the baby boys 2 years of age and under who were still in Bethlehem. Now, we do not know how many children were killed in Bethlehem on that day. We really don't know. But it was indeed a terrible massacre, genocide. Matthew introduced here at this point the theme of hostility. The theme of hostility. And he will continue. He focuses on this theme throughout his book. How people were hostile to Jesus. You see, Satan is a liar and he's a murderer. John chapter 8 verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Herod was a liar too. He lied to the Magi and he murdered those babies. He is a liar and he is a murderer. But even this horrendous crime of murder was a fulfillment of prophecy that we find in Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 15. Jeremiah 31 verse 15. Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Now, in order to understand this fulfillment, we must review Jewish history. To understand this prophecy, we must review Jewish history. The first mention of Bethlehem in scripture is in connection with the death of Jacob's favorite wife, Rachel. Genesis chapter 35, verses 16 to 20. Genesis 35, 16 to 20. Then they journeyed from Bethel. When they were still some distance from Ephrath, Rachel went into labor, and she had hard labor. And when her labor was at its hardest, the midwife said to her, "Do not fear, for you have another son." And as her soul was departing, for she was dying, she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. So Rachel died, and she was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem, and Jacob set up a pillar over her tomb. It is the pillar of Rachel's tomb, which is there to this day. Rachel died giving birth to a son, whom she named Benoni. And Benoni means son of my sorrow. But Jacob renamed his son Benjamin. And Benjamin means son of my right hand. Now both of these names relate to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. In the book of Isaiah chapter 53 verse 3, we have the description of our Lord Jesus Christ and that cruel death on the cross is prophecy. Isaiah 53 verse 3, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. But he is now raised up and he is the son of God's right hand. Acts chapter 5 verse 30 to 31. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Again, in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 verses 2 to 3, we have studied in detail Hebrews chapter 1 verses 2 to 3, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jacob put a pillar to mark Rachel's grave, which is near Bethlehem. Genesis chapter 35 verse 20. And Jacob set up a pillar over her tomb. It is the pillar of Rachel's tomb, which is there to this day. Jeremiah's prophecy was given about 600 years before Jesus Christ was born. And it grew out of the captivity of Jerusalem. Some of the captives were taken to Ramah in Benjamin, near Jerusalem. And this reminded Jeremiah of Jacob's sorrow when Rachel died. However, now it was Rachel who was weeping. She represented the mothers of Israel, weeping as they saw their sons going into captivity. It was as though Rachel said, "I gave my life to bear a son, and now his descendants are no more." Jacob saw Bethlehem as a place of death, but the birth of Jesus made it a place of life. Because of his coming, there would be a spiritual deliverance for Israel. Because Jesus came, there is spiritual deliverance for Israel, and in the future, the establishment of David's throne and kingdom. Israel, the son of my sorrow, would one day become the son of my right hand. And Jeremiah gave a promise to the nation that they would be restored to their land again from captivity. They will be brought back. Jeremiah 31 verses 16 to 17. Thus says the Lord, keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for there is a reward for your work, declares the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord, and your children shall come back to their own country. Now this promise was fulfilled. But there was given an even greater promise through Jeremiah that the nation would be regathered in the future and the kingdom established. You see, in AD 70, Titus the Roman invaded Jerusalem and the Jews were scattered across the globe. Practically 100 nations all over the globe, they were scattered. And for almost 2,000 years, they had no land of their own. But Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 27 to 28, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that as I have watched over them to pluck up and break down, to overthrow, destroy, and bring harm, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, declares the Lord." And we read of this also in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 11 to 12, the gathering of Israel to their homeland. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 11 to 12. "In that day the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time, to recover the remnant that remains of his people from Assyria, from Egypt, from Patros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea. He will raise a signal for the nations and will assemble the banished of Israel and gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." And we all know, even from our own hometown, Kochi, they've gone back to Israel. Zechariah chapter 10, verses 9 to 10. Again, another prophecy of the regathering of Israel. Zechariah chapter 10, verses 9 to 10. "Though I scattered them among the nations, yet in far countries they shall remember me, and with their children they shall live and return. I will bring them home from the land of Egypt and gather them from Assyria. And I will bring them to the land of Gilead and to Lebanon, till there is no room for them." Brothers and sisters, these promises have been fulfilled. And today, Israel is a nation filled with the kind of technology and expertise and scientific knowledge which far excels any other nation. One day, the Messiah, the same Messiah whom they rejected, will reveal himself to them. And how will that happen? You know, when you look at the Old Testament, Joseph's brothers rejected Joseph. They put him into a pit and then sold him to Egypt. And Joseph, God kept Joseph, preserved him, and raised him up. And finally, after all that rejection, after those many years, finally Joseph revealed himself. He revealed himself to his brothers, the same brothers who rejected him. And Joseph, when he revealed himself to his brothers, he did it in a very personal way. He told all those Egyptians who were in the room to get out of the room. In the book of Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 to 4. Then Joseph could not control himself. Even when I am reading this passage, I can't control myself. Genesis 45 verses 1 to 4. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud so that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." You know, he drew them all very close to him. He was a Jew, and he revealed to themself the sign that he was a Jew. I believe he revealed to them that he was circumcised. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near, and he said, "I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt." And Genesis chapter 45, verses 14 and 15, we read, "Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck, and he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked with him." How will the Messiah reveal himself to those who rejected him? To his own brothers, how will he reveal himself? He will reveal himself like Joseph revealed, in a very personal way. The Messiah will reveal himself to his own who rejected him in a very personal way. He was rejected by his own. He came to his own, but his own knew him not. John chapter 1 verse 11. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But you see, he still loves them, just like Joseph loved them. He still loves them, and he's been waiting for them for 2,000 years now. And he's given them back their nation from which they were driven out. And he still loves them. He has not given up on them. Now is the time of the Gentiles. And when that's soon over, he, the Messiah, Yeshua, will reveal himself to them. In Romans chapter 11 verses 25 to 26 we read, "Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel." Remember, it's only a partial hardening. It's for a particular period of time. "A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob." And the prophet Zechariah reveals how the Messiah will ultimately reveal himself to his own people. Zechariah chapter 12, verses 10 to 14. "And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on me," you see that? "When they look on me, on him whom they have pierced." It's a very personal revelation. "When they look on me, on him whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and weep bitterly over him as one weeps over a firstborn. Even now, if you ask the Jews who have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you ask them about their personal testimony, it is almost 99% of the time being a personal revelation. On that day, verse 11 says, on that day the mourning in Jerusalem will be as great as the mourning of Hadad Rimon in the plain of Megiddo. The land shall mourn. Each family by itself, the family of the house of David by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Nathan by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Levi by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of Shimeath by itself, and their wives by themselves, and all the families that are left, each by itself, and their wives by themselves. It will be a great mourning, because then the Messiah will reveal to them the wounds that he bore in his own house. Very few people today think of Bethlehem as a burial place. They think of it as the birthplace of Jesus Christ. And because Jesus died for us and rose again, we have a bright future before us. Yes, those of us who know him, and mind you, knowing him is not like the scribes and the Pharisees who knew about him and even pointed Herod to the Savior. That is only head knowledge. That is of no use. Knowing Jesus means obeying Jesus. And for those of us who know him, we shall live forever with him in that glorious city where death is no more and where tears will never fall. Revelation chapter 21 verses 3 to 4. I'll read this and we'll close. Revelation chapter 21 verses 3 to 4. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. Shall we bow our heads in prayer?